thank you, Lord, that we serve a risen God. We sense your presence, Holy Spirit, in our midst right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are leading us toward the Son. Thank you for the fact that you're revealing more and more of Jesus to us every day. My prayer is that today we'll see you afresh, Jesus. No matter how long we've walked with you, that we'll choose again today to continue the journey with you, the journey that leads to eternal life. We just thank you that you have given to us the opportunity to choose life. We could choose death or we could choose life. And Lord, today I sense by your Spirit you're begging us, choose life. So we choose life. We choose you. Because you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we look to you, Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Build us, strengthen us, empower us by your Holy Spirit today. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, my God and my Redeemer. Amen. 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 Well, you may be seated. Thank you so much, worship team, for leading us today on Resurrection Sunday. I want to pick up a story from Luke chapter 24, and I just wonder if you could go there with me, if you have your Bible here with you today, or the Bible on your device or whatever, or you can look to the screen. The words will be there. I want to read a number of verses. I want to read from verse 13 all the way through to 32, and then I want to just share some thoughts from this particular story that is told in Luke's Gospel, that of an event that took place after the resurrection of Jesus. Let's read. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. And then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened these last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. And he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who'd come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at the tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said that his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of the men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. And then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?' And then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And by this time, they were nearing Emmaus, and the end of their journey. And Jesus acted as if he was going to go on or going on. And they begged him, stay the night with us since it is getting late. So he went home with them. And as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and he blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment he disappeared. And they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? You know, these men had witnessed the death of Jesus. And as far as they were concerned, that was the end of their dreams for freedom. See, they were a people that were under the rule and the reign of a pretty tough regime. The Romans were in rulership at that particular time. It was tyrannical kind of leadership, and they thought that Jesus was the one that was going to rescue them. He was going to overthrow the Romans, get rid of that government. We don't need that government. Let's put a good government in, and Jesus is going to be the king. The Messiah is going to be the king, and you know that's all it. But when he died, it was like the dreams of freedom just disappeared in their minds, because they were looking through natural eyes and didn't understand the full nature of the spiritual kingdom, which is much, much more than what we see with our eyes. You know, they'd seen Jesus do amazing miracles, and they'd seen him stand up for the rights of people who were discriminated against, and now he was just gone. They thought that Jesus was the Messiah. He was going to be their ticket to freedom, so to speak. They were actually disappointed. None of us can relate to disappointment, can we? I think we've all faced situations where we thought this was going to happen and it didn't happen. Or this is the way that God was going to answer my prayers and it didn't happen that way. And disappointment comes upon us. Well, they were full of disappointment and even leading to despair. You know, they'd heard Jesus speak of his death and they'd heard him speak of his resurrection, but they were so caught up in their own disappointment that they almost missed experiencing the power of the resurrection themselves. They didn't realize the person with them was the resurrected Lord. They didn't realize it because they were so caught up in their own disappointment. They were so caught up in their own answer to the world's problems. They didn't realize that God would have a bigger plan. A greater plan. And because they were so caught up in their own thinking, they almost missed experiencing the wonder of having Jesus walk with you through life. And while they were walking, Jesus came beside them, he journeyed with them. Now, Jesus knew how they were feeling. He knew what they were going through. And we see that in the way that Jesus related and responded and communicated with them, that he deeply loved them and was concerned about them. And we need to understand in our world that the Lord is deeply concerned about us, and he loves us and he wants to reach out to us. There's a lot going on in our world that is bringing destruction. And some of you probably prayed the same prayer as I've prayed. Lord, come quickly. Let's just get rid of all of this. Let's get the heavenly kingdom happening now. But he loves humanity so much. He actually wants to journey with us and help us through our challenges, to bring us to a fresh understanding of a kingdom that is far greater than what we can see in this world right now. There's some significant things I see in this story that Jesus did. Firstly, he asked them questions. And he got them to talk about their disappointments. It sounds almost like he was a psychologist. People pay good money and go and get a good degree to sit down and listen to someone and ask them questions and just listen. Come on, share your story. Well, Jesus just did it because that's the heart of the Father. To just love people, to sit with people, to ask them questions and get them to share what is going on inside you. This is what he did. And you know, he sought then to help them to overcome their feelings of despair and disappointment by explaining the scriptures to them. This is where some of our psychological learning goes awry in our world right now, because they leave the Bible part out of it. We'll do the listening. We'll let people share their stories, get it off their heart. But you see, then you've got to go into what can fill the void. And so Jesus began from what the prophets said about the coming Messiah, what would happen and what that would mean in terms of being set free, what that would mean about eternal life, living a life walking with God, just like Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden before sin ever entered the world. The Lord has made a way for us to actually walk that kind of walk with him even now, in the midst of all the sin and all the mess going on around about us. He explained the scriptures to them and led them to a place of recognizing the Messiah. And I love this part. As it got toward the end of the journey, and they say, well, this is us. This is home. And Jesus just keeps on walking inside. He's saying, come on, ask me to stay. I don't want to leave you. I don't want to forsake you. I want to be with you. Sorry about that, cameraman. I'm trying to stay close. I want to be with you. And then as he's walking off, they say, oh, whoa, just a minute. It's late, it's dark. Why don't you stay with us? And after they'd eaten the meal, of course, Jesus went through that process, breaking the bread. And they're like, ah, my eyes are opened. Do you know that's what it feels like when we get saved? We know Jesus is there, kind of inside. You know, they said our hearts burned within us. Like we sense something. There is more to life than what this is. We sense something. We kind of, I don't get all this stuff about there's no God and all that. There's something. Didn't our hearts burn within us? And then Jesus does something and we go, ah, it's Jesus. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. It's that revelation like Peter got when Jesus said, who do the people say that I am? And he said, you are the Christ. That Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. You didn't learn that at uni. You didn't learn that from YouTube. No. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. This hasn't happened naturally. You received this from heaven. You see, we can't get saved unless we get a supernatural revelation of who Jesus is. It can't be intellect. It's got to be heart. It has to be faith. It's trust. It's belief. So these men, they were full of disappointment, despair, but once they believed that Jesus was alive and journeying through life with them, things changed straight away. And I want to encourage you this morning on this Resurrection Sunday morning that the Lord is walking amongst us. But he doesn't just want to walk amongst us, he wants to walk with you. He wants you to be one of those disciples. He doesn't want you to just be, you know, part of a crowd and, oh yeah, I think Jesus is here. No, he actually wants to walk with you. He wants a conversation with you. He knows how you are feeling right now. He actually does. And he wants to communicate with us. You know, I've had plenty of disappointments in life. And usually when that happens, I've got to get away. I've got to get alone. I don't resolve my issues in a group. When something's going on, Karen, I'm going. I'll go for a walk. Do you know, as I'm alone, it's amazing how often I hear this in my head. Why are you letting those words affect you so much? A question. Why don't you focus on the Word, what the Word of God says about you a bit more? Another question. And then I have heard this kind of question. Do you know that I have plans for your life? And then the worst question of all, why don't you ask me what those plans are? Instead of trying to figure them all out for yourself. See, if we will just go and take some time and do and walk and listen, the Lord will ask us questions. Not to put us in an uneasy position, but just to help us to understand what is going on inside us. And that what we think is the end of the world is actually the beginning of a new life. You know, he helps us to overcome our difficulties. In other words, he doesn't just ask the questions, he gives the answers. But the answers I've always found come from the Word of God. That's why Jesus started with the prophets and shared the scriptures. He is the living Word. He didn't have to refer to the scriptures, the divinely inspired Word of God given to those prophets of old. He didn't have to refer to them because he's the living Word, but he referred to them because he wants us all to learn. Even today, we need a reference point. And the reference point must be the Word of God. Jeremiah 15 verse 16 says this, "When I discovered your words, I devoured them. They are my joy and my heart's delight." That's what the prophet Jeremiah said. I'm not sure, and I don't know whether Jesus used that particular scripture from the prophets when he was speaking to those men, but I love that because it reminds me how much I need the Word of God in my life. You know, if we want to make the kind of decisions that will bring joy into our life, then it's important that we spend time listening to the Lord's voice, which is actually so readily available in the Bible. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, "I don't hear God." Well, I don't necessarily hear an audible voice either, but I've explained to you how I can be walking along and a thought, a question comes to my mind, and I know I didn't ask that question. Someone else is asking that question of me. God speaks to us in that way, but you know the greatest way he speaks to us is in the Word of God. It's amazing how much you can read those Gospels, read the stories, like the story I read today, and say, makes sense. Now, there's a lot in the Bible that doesn't make sense. That's because we don't understand it all. But God, in his wisdom, wants to reveal to us more and more. But so much of it helps us on our journey. Romans 15, verse 4 says this, "Such things were written in the Scriptures long ago to teach us, and the Scriptures gave us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled." So the Bible's full of answers to the issues that we're facing. And if we'll take the time to read it, to meditate on it, to apply it to our life, then we're going to see some positive change taking place in us. And if he does it for us, he can do it for everyone else in our family, in our street, in our city, in our nation, and in the nations of the world. But as I've already said, the part that I really love about this story is that Jesus stays with us if we ask him. But we have to ask him. interesting, the symbolism in this story, that he didn't just stay and force himself upon them. Hey, can I come into your house? Have you got some food? I want to break some bread. He actually continued on. Because he wants us to ask him. We can't get saved without asking the Lord to be our Savior. We can't be set free by the one who can set us free unless we ask him to set us free. So they asked him, please stay with us. And I plead with you this morning. Many of you have obviously asked him, and he has stayed with you, and you're long-term veteran Christians. But others of you are new Christians, or some are still on the seeking journey. I want you, no matter what, I believe every day we should say, Lord, I need you today. Lord, on my journey today, would you be with me? Stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. If we ask him to do that, I promise you, he is true to his word. He will do exactly what he did for those disciples. That's what makes this story so powerful. The worship team could just come back right now. You know, if we want to enjoy the life that Jesus said he came to give, I give you life and life more abundant, or life to the full. If we want to experience the benefits of journeying through life, not alone, but with Jesus, we've got to acknowledge him. We've got to ask him to stay. This is what it says in Romans 10, verses 9 to 11. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Doesn't sound complex. Jesus, your Lord, I believe that you died for my sins and you rose again on the third day. And the resurrection life that was demonstrated can be given to me, eternal life as a gift. And it says, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you're saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. And in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. And so in a moment, we're going to have this privilege here at Dream Builders to witness some people being baptized. People who have chosen to identify themselves with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's going to be a special time. These four that are going to be baptized this morning have decided in their heart to invite Jesus to journey through life with them. I want to give an opportunity to anyone here in the room or in your own living rooms or lounge rooms or wherever you're watching this live stream. I want to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus to stay, to be with you, to be your Savior, to be your Lord, and to journey through life with you. I wonder if you could just bow your heads with me right now. I just think it's important at a time like this to respect people's privacy, because what I'm going to ask of individuals is something between the individual and their God. It's not really our business, it's God's business. But if there's anyone in this room that has never accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, or maybe you have done, or in your childhood you were connected to God, but you've felt distant and away from Him, and you need to reconnect and come back to God. This morning I want to give you an opportunity here in the room or on live stream to simply say, Jesus, You are my Lord. I need You as my Savior. If you want to accept Jesus as your Savior or come back to Him and declare Him afresh as Lord of your life, here in this room or at home, by faith, I wonder if you'd just slip up your hand, let me see it, and say, that's me. Today, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior, my Lord. God bless you. Thanks, mate. Is anybody else? Yes, God bless you. Fantastic. I can see over on my right-hand side. Someone else just wants to make that fresh declaration or reconnect. Thank you. Thank you. I can see that over. Thank you. God bless you. That's fantastic. Thank you so much. All the Lord wants of you who raised your hands, whether you're at home or whether you're here in the room, whether you raised your hand or didn't raise your hand, you need to know this. The Lord is looking out for you, and He is with you, and all you need to do is reach out in faith and pray a prayer to Him and say, Lord, I need You in my life. I've made mistakes. Some I can't fix, and so I ask You to forgive me. I ask You to cleanse me. I ask You to make me right before God. I know You've got plans for me, Jesus, so I ask You to reveal them to me. Would You help me along life's journey to be someone who can reveal life to people who are struggling, joy to people who have no joy, peace to people who have no peace? As You come by Your Spirit, touch my life. I know I'll never be the same again. You don't have to say those words, but you can put whatever words, however you want to say it. The Lord hears you, and He stays with you, and you'll never be the same again. Lord, I want to thank You for those reaching out in faith today. I ask that You would bless them. I ask that as they journey with You, Lord, they would know the peace of God that passes all understanding. May their hearts burn within them with the knowledge You are. Wow, praise God. Love His Word. Love the truth of the gospel. And I just want to now ask those who are going to be baptized if they would come and join me. If someone could just move this away from me, and also bring Giselle, could you grab my microphone over there, which is for those who are going to be baptized, if you just come stand with me right now. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, that's it. Thanks. Hey, Kai. Fantastic. Christy, Nilaria, come stand here beside me, mate. Thanks. Wow. I'm so proud of these guys. I really am. Because they had to make the decision themselves that, you know what, I'm committing my life to the Lord and His ways. No longer me, it's Christ that lives in me. And that's what happens in baptism. It's a very, very significant moment. You know, there's nothing particularly special about the water, but there's something special about the symbolism of that. And you know, sometimes we can just see it as a symbolic act. But as we commit and the water doesn't wash them of their sins, but their heart toward God and their confession of faith is what changes them. what they're doing by being baptized is publicly declaring to us, once I was lost, now I'm found. Once I was blind, now I see. They are testifying to the inward work of the Holy Spirit. This physical water doesn't change them, but the Holy Spirit does. And what this is in baptism is a public testimony, an outward testimony of an inward work of the Holy Spirit. They're already saved. They don't need this water to save them, but by them being baptized is demonstrating to all of us, I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Amen?
Amen.
So good. So I'm going to ask them to just share a little bit briefly with you about their story. They could all talk for a long time about what Jesus has done for them. They're going to do their best to not keep you here forever, but their stories are important. And I want you to encourage them as they encourage us with their stories. Amen? So why don't we start with you then, Dave? You're in the hot seat right beside me. There's the microphone.
Yeah, hello. So before I come to Transformation Dream Builders, I was pretty lost and felt pretty lost and alone. Then I come to Transformation's Dream Builders. Suddenly found myself to be free of the chains of sorrow and hurt in my life. Reconnecting with family and also starting relationship with God. So, yeah, on that journey, I'm very new and young to faith. So why I'm getting baptized today is I just want to, I'm hungry for more. Mm-hmm. And I'm just hungry to find out more and the plans that God has for my life. Amen.
So good, Dave. Would you pass the mic to Kai? So everyone, this is Kai. Kai is also part of Center for Change and our Transformations program, Drug and Alcohol Rehabilitation. We're so proud of you, Kai, and really looking forward to hearing what you got to say.
So I've got some prepared. When I was 15, I was in a major car accident which left me in a coma for 4 days. I had severe bleeding on the brain and I shouldn't have survived. I think that was the first sign of God in my life. Then on my 18th birthday, I fell through a window and almost completely severed my arm. I hit the main artery and lost almost 2/3 of the blood in my body. Again, I shouldn't have survived and I think that was another sign that God didn't want me dead just yet.
Mm.
As the years went by, I fell into drug addiction, but the Lord kept leading me closer to Him, and today here I am in a Christian rehab, growing in faith and working on myself each day. God is helping me find my self-worth and helping me to grow to love myself and the person I'm becoming. I've never felt closer to God, and I'm so thankful for His presence in my life. I couldn't ask for a better time to take this next step and get baptized.
Thank you, guys. Ilaria, looking forward to hearing your story.
I've been coming on and off to church since my 7-year-old son was a toddler. And each time it was out of curiosity or desperation. You see, I had heavy weight that knocked at my door whenever a mountain appeared. One wave of hardship and everything else would wave in with it. My emotional and physical childhood burden put a big wedge between myself and that pulling feeling towards God. The awareness of knowing at a young age what was happening to me and around me was not normal or okay had me older but not wiser, facing controlling relationships that I clung to just because I was seeking love and acceptance wherever I could find it. I recently had my third serious relationship. And as much as that voice in my head told me otherwise, I married anyway. 2 weeks after my marriage, I was faced with going to hospital and saying goodbye to a gift. And not long after, my husband too, he walked away. Again, this pattern and this cycle of absolute heartbreak and abandonment came round. For the first time in a very long time, I went to God. Despite my belief, I begged God to bring back my husband. And amongst the begging, I prayed. I prayed that Jesus would watch over me and my son. I prayed for forgiveness, and I apologized for ignoring that voice that I now know to be him. I promised to listen and stay branched to God. Out of what I believed to be faithfulness, he brought back my husband. And when he did, I was grateful. I was shocked. But married life went on. God did not. Here there was no God. There was no encouragement. It did not continue. It became hard and something I had to justify. And as always, I let that pull towards my Jesus slip. Then one day, like any other day, I woke up and realized that the last time I felt happy, home, safe, recognized, settled, and all those wonderful things was with my father. I wanted out. I wanted out of this unhappiness that I once thought was true happiness, in fear that I'd always be in this cycle, and I wanted to step back into God. I could see it now, and I understood. I woke up, and my husband asked me a question, and that little voice spoke to me once more. Now, if you say no, Ilaria, he's going to leave you, and that is okay. I said no, and leave me, he did. I spent time healing and I brought a Bible. I was so done driving a vehicle and being at the bottom of the bottom, I had a true awakening, a self-discovery moment, and I found Jesus. This was not my vehicle to drive, and that is why I always ended up off-roading. I did not know who I was in this world, and through asking God, he carried me. I went to God and continued to pray. I engaged in Connect at my house. I put my son in a godly school. I wrote down scriptures and I put them on my mirrors. I listened to worship music every day. I listened with hunger in church. I started to turn to my God. And not because I wanted to do everything by the book, but because I wanted to be saved and adopt God to rule my life rather than the crippling to rule my life. I became consistent with God. I spent time listening to his voice. I loved him and believed in him, and through that, he loved me and believed in me too. My relationship with God flourished, and I went through a huge shift with supernatural glory. Opportunities came up in people and events and jobs. My nightmares vanished. Massive debt disappeared. My reconnection happened through change, and every Sunday came available for me to come here with my church people and praise my God. You see, God was always there. I blamed him through my pain, and I never thanked him through my victory. I realized that I blocked God out and all my belief for him because of the damage and the scarring. But today, I stand here and I give him my heart completely. I ask for all my sins to be forgiven and I pray to be a true child of God. I ask and choose to be saved in this vow, and I vow to stay hungry to God in a life filled with the Holy Spirit and to love my God unconditionally no matter what my life may bring. As it's a victory regardless because he is there with me. As it reads in Corinthians, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. God of salvation, you chased my heart down through my failure and my pride. You lost your life so I could find it here. And I ask you to stay with me. And if you left the grave, then so will I.
Christy.
So my story began when I was, I was raised in a Catholic household, did all my sacraments and whatnot. However, I never felt it was me. And for over a decade, I left the church. I just turned my back on God. In July 2018, I started suffering a health condition, which after 5 surgeries in a year, nothing happened. I just got given the same advice over and over from the doctors, saying that pretty much it will heal when it's ready. However, it never healed. In April last year, I started talking to Rachel and I started asking her more about God because I was just curious and it just felt right. After about 2 more surgeries and whatnot, I actually healed, which honestly I never thought I was. And without God, I don't think I would have. I actually had an ultrasound on the area. It came out clear, which when I had an MRI before, like fully giving to God, there was actually more tracks and whatnot there, which would have meant more surgeries. But I honestly feel without God, I would not have healed. And I just want to give Him I just want Him to have me, to guide me throughout life, now and forever.
So good. Yeah. Wow, fantastic testimonies, and thank you all 4 of you for sharing that with us. I'm going to ask you now if you just make your way around there. There'll be some folks there to help you. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. So church, those testimonies are fantastic, and they've explained to all of us why they want to identify with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. And so, you know, I just imagine that when Peter got to that tomb and bent down and went inside and saw that all the grave clothes were there, Jesus wasn't. I just reckon he came out and said, "He's alive! He's alive!" Because that was the kind of nature of him. I want us, when these guys come up out of the water, I want us to have that same enthusiasm as Peter. Say, they're alive. They're alive in Christ, you know. It's just so powerful what the Holy Spirit does if we will allow Him to transform us. Transform lives, there's nothing like it. And so I'm going to head up to here. And got the help of Roger and Cameron. So whoever, I don't mind who's first. Whoever wants to be first, you just make your way up here. And then Dave, it looks like it's Dave. Love that about Dave. He volunteered to go first in the testimonies, I think. Just climb in, Dave. And leave your phone out. Yeah. So come all the way forward here, mate. We don't want you to bang your head. And so Cameron and Roger are going to be placing Dave under the water, and after they count to 100, they'll bring him back up. But I want to pray for you, mate. Lord, I just want to say thank you for Dave. Thank you that you saw him in his most desperate times. You didn't leave him, but you drew him to yourself. Thank you that he found his way to this program. Thank you for the Transformations program, touching lives all over our country. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, we at Dream Builders get to be a part of life transformation. And so, Lord, this morning, I just want to say thank you for my brother. I ask you that as he's baptized, he would sense your favor on his life. Lord, when you were baptized, when John baptized you, you spoke from heaven, Heavenly Father, and you said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." I pray that that same sense of acceptance and love and affirmation Dave will hear from his Heavenly Father at this time. And so, Dave, now upon the confession of your faith and at your request, it is our privilege to baptize you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Next. Looks like it's Christy. She's coming up. Christy, what a powerful testimony. So thankful to God that you listened to his voice, that you allowed him to bring healing to your body. But also, he's made you whole spiritually, you know, and I'm just so excited about your journey with God. It's going to be very, very special. And so Lord, I just pray for Christy right now. I'm so thankful for her. Lord, I'm just grateful that when we call out to you, you hear us. When we ask you to walk with us, you walk with us. She cried out to you for healing and you made her whole. She cried out to you for salvation and you saved her. Thank you, Lord, that once she was lost, but now she's found. Once she was headed on a path toward eternal destruction, but you have put her on the path to eternal life. And for that, we give you praise and we pray your blessing on her. Wonderful lady, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Christy, upon the confession of your faith and at your request, it's our privilege and our pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's Kai. Kai, the resident of the month, the current resident of the month, is that right? Come all the way forward, Kai. Powerful story, mate. You know, I just love what you said about how there were times when your life could have been gone. But God was there and spared you. And I love your words that he must have a bigger plan. And he does. He really does. And we want to do that journey with you, mate, and help you. And you just keep your eyes on Jesus. He's going to, you know, anytime you think he's getting out ahead, just say, Lord, stay. Stay with me. Because sometimes you can feel like, oh, I'm just... It's two steps forward, one step back. If you take that step back, you say, Jesus, stay with me. That's what those guys said on the road. He's going to be there with you, even in the backward step. And then you'll take three steps forward. And maybe a backward step, but then you'll take four steps forward because he's got a great plan for you, mate. Lord, I thank you for Kai. So grateful for this young man. who has said yes to you. He said no to other things that have been life controlling. And he's put his life in your hands and said, Lord, would you lead me? Would you direct me? Would you take control of my life? And I thank you that you are Lord of his life. And nothing's going to separate him from your love. So Kai, it's a great privilege upon the confession of your faith and at your request to baptize you this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Anything better than baptisms? I don't think there is. Love it. And I hope you're loving it at home too on the live stream. Hi. Ilaria. Yeah, it's you. Come all the way forward. Thank you for sharing your story. We all feel so encouraged to see your courage. So a lot of times you could have given up in pursuing God, but you didn't. Even when you felt stagnant, and, well, I'm not getting anywhere, it's not happening, there was still something in you that was saying, I'm gonna pursue God. I'm so sorry. There's so many thousands and millions of people in our nation that don't pursue God. I don't know why they don't, because the result could be what you're feeling. It's one of acceptance, unconditional, beautiful love of our Heavenly Father. That feeling never has to go away, because you're His child, and He loves you so, so much. We are so proud of you, that you would be someone who would reflect the love of God, the joy of the Lord in the way that you do, because the Holy Spirit lives within you. It's a great future ahead of you, Ilaria. The past is the past, but the future, what God wants to paint on that canvas is going to be phenomenal. And we feel privileged we're going to get to watch that unfold by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for Ilaria. Thank you for all that you're doing in her life and what you're going to do through her. Lord, we just know that your hand is upon her, that she is a woman of faith. And Lord, you're strengthening her every day to become a woman who won't just live by faith, but a woman that will encourage and help to build faith in others. We just pray, Lord, that you would just come and touch her afresh. And I thank you, our Lord, that you're the one that never leaves us, never forsakes us. And I thank you that Ilaria will never feel alone, because you are with her. Bless her, bless her family, Lord. Jesus' name. Ilaria, on the confession of your faith and at your request, it's our privilege to baptize you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
worthy to be praised, Lord. You're so worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, church, I want us to stay in that wonderful sense as though we've been on a journey with him throughout this service, and then each of us are saying to him as we go, Lord, stay with us. Stay with us. Stay with us. Expect him to speak to you this week. Expect him to ask you questions. Expect him to speak words of encouragement into your life. Expect him to stay with you wherever you are. It's been a fantastic Easter. I want to say thank you to all of you for being a part of what God's been doing Good Friday and this morning. And obviously at Dream Builders, we continue to worship him next Sunday as well. So make sure that you're here. And if you can't, we're obviously on the live stream, but we'd love you to be in the house. Why don't you invite someone to church? Because you never know, the person you're inviting might have a story one day, just like Ilaria's or just like Dave's. You just don't know. Let's be a people who encourage people to come and see, come and hear, come and experience the love of God in a very special way. Amen. 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 Well, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit go with you all this Easter Sunday morning. God bless you.